Chapter 41. The ship was larger than Jin had expected. Alejander had said there were only 20 units to move. Of course, he hadn't said what the units were, and Jin hadn't asked. It was easier to move contraband through the space station, where only Commander Solange's corrupt eyes could see, than between planets or on more traditional trade routes.
"You Alejander's girl?"
said the captain of the ship, a rough-looking man about 50 years old. Jin nodded.
"Get in. Mathy will get you started."
Jin boarded the ship, and before she found Mathy, she felt the engines lighting. The ship shot out of the station and into the blackness of space. "They're in a hurry," Jin said to herself. She pushed open a door at the end of the main hallway and discovered a group of three men sitting at a table. These were not the kind of men who would visit Mosefa's cantina. These were the kind of men who'd guzzle whatever was left over in the glasses sent to the back for cleaning.
"You that girl?"
one of them asked. He had a patchy red beard that was only just starting to shadow his chin.
"You Mathy?"
he grunted. Jin took that for a yes. She pulled out a chair and sat across from him. The other two men stood up and left.
"Gonna check on the cargo,"
the older one said, drawing the last word out as if it were two.
"Right, so Alejandra said you wouldn't know all about the job,"
Mathy said. His voice crackled like it was made of ice. He pulled out a stack of identity contract pads. Jin counted them after he slid them across the table to her. 20. She read the top one. "Grajan Marscopo, 8 standard years. Servitude, Alejandro Passot. Service years, 3. Status, complete. Compensation, passage to Rumitaka, 5-point system."
"What's this?"
Jin asked.
"Indentured service records."
Mathy was watching her, waiting. Jin could feel his eyes boring into her, hungry for a reaction.
"What am I supposed to do with them?"
she asked in an even tone.
"Alejandra has 20 servants whose time is up," Mathy said. "They were told they'd get a new start on Rumitaka as soon as their contracts are finished."
"And they're not?" Jin asked. Mathy's eyes were alight.
"Well, it's something of a new start, different from working at the palace."
He took the top identity contract off of Jin's stack.
"You're to alter these. Each one needs to have 5 more years added, and assigned to the Empire, not Alejandra. That's who he sold them to."
"Sold them, like slaves?" Jin kept her tone carefully even.
"Exactly, 'cause that's what they are."
Mathy grinned with all his teeth, even the broken front one that was blackening on the inside.
"Ah."
Jin stared at the ident pads.
"You got a problem with it?"
Mathy added, his tone mocking.
"No,"
Jin said simply. Mathy didn't look convinced.
"A job is a job," she said, "and I've been paid."
"How much?"
he asked. Jin let her eyes linger on Mathy's dirty hair, the oil staining one cheek, his disheveled clothes.
"Probably more than you," she said.
She stood, gathering the ident pads, and added, "Where's my bunk?" Mathy grunted, hooking his thumb down the hall. Jin left him grumbling at the table, and when she entered her room, the first thing she did was lock the door. Then she sat down and memorized the names at the top of each ident pad. A few hours later, the door rattled in its frame.
"Eaten time,"
Mathy growled. Jin set the ident pads on her bed, a moldy pallet she had not yet decided whether or not she would actually sleep on, and stood up to join the rest of the crew for dinner. The others were longtime partners. Jin was clearly the outsider. The two workers were older than Jin had thought, in their mid-20s.
and Mathy talked with pride of how many people they'd killed on the streets of Seytote before he picked them up. This seemed to be their chief selling point, that they had no compunction at all about pointing blasters at people and firing at will. The captain was known only as Captain, and his word was law.
"How long have you been a slaver?"
Jin asked politely. Captain's eyes widened.
"Not a slaver," he said. "Just transporting cargo."
"But the cargo is people," Jin said, keeping her voice cool and even.
"Therefore, definitionally..."
"Definitionally," Mathy said, mocking Jin's polite tone. "Look, ain't gotta have all those fancy words. Ain't gotta be all high and mighty. You're in the scum with us now."
Jin looked down at her hands.
"Indeed."
At the end of their meal, a sloppy sort of stew, Jin offered to clear the plates away and wash them. The others laughed at her, saying it was high time they had a woman to take care of them. But Jin was mostly concerned with ensuring that the next meal she ate would be on a clean plate.
"And what about the slaves?"
Jin asked when she was done and the men were busy starting a game of sabacc.
"Cargo," Captain corrected.
Jin cocked her head, but didn't point out that changing what they were called did not actually make them less human.
"What about them?"
Mathy countered. He was like a rabid Gamorrean, always looking for a fight.
"Have they been fed?"
The pot of stew wasn't good, but there was plenty of it. Jin recited their names in her head. Grajan, Kathleen, Dorset, Harvey.
"They're fine," Captain said.
"I don't mind, I can take some food down." Jin started to pick up some bowls.
"They're fine."
Captain's voice brooked no argument.
"Loros, Olin, Blaine, Efford."
"D'you not hear, Captain?"
Mathy shouted when Jin didn't move.
"Leave 'em be. They got water. It's only a week."
Jin let the full impact of Mathy's words slide into her soul. She left the pot on the stove, went to her room, and locked the door again. Several hours later, there was a soft knock on her door. Jin stood to open it and was surprised to see Captain standing there.
"May I come in?"
he asked politely. Jin stepped back.
"Already working?"
Captain nodded to the ident pad spread out on the bed.
"It's not an easy task," Jin said. "I'll need almost the whole trip to finish."
"But you can do it?"
Jin nodded. She couldn't tell if Captain was relieved or disappointed by that.
"I wasn't always a slaver," he said finally, his eyes still on the ident pads. "Fact is, I used to be a slave myself."
Jin didn't speak. She had learned her lesson on 5 points well.
"Alejandro Pessoa was my last owner. Bought me from Kyretum, who bought me from my stepfather. Evil bastard, that man."
Jin knew a thing or two about bastard fathers.
"Being a slave," Captain finally looked at Jin, "it wears on you. I hated it. Kyretum made me wear a collar. It was a constant reminder that I was a thing, not a person. Couldn't do what I wanted. Couldn't even dream. Not with that thing strangling me."
He put his hand up to his bare neck.
"Alejandro took my collar off. He cares about what a person's use is, not status. Saw I had a use."
"As a slaver,"
Jin couldn't help saying. A shadow passed over Captain's face.
"As a pilot."
"And this?"
Jin indicated the ship.
"The cargo changes. It's not all bad."
They were silent for a moment.
"Is it worth it?" Jin finally asked. "Is it worth helping other people be enslaved, just so you can have your freedom?"
She sought his eyes, truly curious about his answer.
"Yes," he said emphatically. "Now I have to ask you something. You gonna be a problem? It's okay to not like what you do, but you still have to do it.
I was paid. That's all I care about.
She lied. Captain nodded once, accepting her answer. Don't let the boys ride you, he said. They aren't used to being reminded what they are. They give you trouble, let me know.
Jin thanked him, but when he left, she locked her door again, making sure Captain heard the metallic click. Then she finally allowed herself to unpack. She spread out all her credits, the ones from Commander Solange and the ones from Alejandro Pessoa, and she set them beside the 20 ident pads. She did not let herself think of the names written there again. She knew what she should do, and she knew what she had to do.